Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever it is on this beautiful day. I am recording live from Odd's Cafe here in Asheville, North Carolina, West Haywood Road. If you're ever out this way, definitely come check out Odd's. It's got a great vibe. It is a love place and space, and that's what our community is all about. Love places and spaces. An amazing almond milk latte here. Kind of my standard, my go-to. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed. And if you're new to the podcast, this is my weekly share of the daily practice that has literally transformed my life over the past several years, multiple years now. And thinking back on that fact, to devote time every morning to be in the Word after really never opening a Bible for the first 50 plus years of my life. It's really been a transformational experience. And when you just commit to small things like that, big transformation happens. And that's how God works. So let's jump right in. I'm going to share from different sources. And again, this is, if you're new, none of this is rehearsed. It's all spontaneous. So you're going to see my reaction as it happens. So today, the verse of the day is Malachi 4:6. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Woo. So this is kind of deep. Malachi 4:6. So he will turn parents and children's hearts to each other. And you know, the heart, so important. The heart gets designed, I guess, by your environment, what you allow into it. It takes on whatever it is that you allow in. So if you have joy, your heart is going to be full of joy, and that will come out in your actions and your words. If you have hate, the same thing will happen. If you have hope, if you have despair. So it's all a condition of your heart, and it's all under your control, because it's based on what you let in. That's why, you know, I've been on this lately. I don't know why, but I don't know. Anyway, it must be the Holy Spirit wanting me to speak into this whole mental health and therapy craze that, you know, our country is just going nuts over. Be careful. It's from the enemy. You don't need therapy. You don't need that to heal from the past. You're already healed. Just go to Jesus with it. You just change your thoughts. It doesn't require anything beyond trusting in Jesus. So here, the second part of this, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. So what I'm hearing there, that's our obedience part. So God is saying, you know, I've given you instruction, turn your hearts to each other, parents and children. You know, I think of my own son that we haven't talked in a couple of years. And I don't know what happened specifically, but I just pray on that, and I keep my heart turned towards him. And my prayer is that, you know, God's will is that his heart will be turned towards me one day. And I'm really good with that. I'm joyful about that, because I know he's on a journey. God has got him on a journey, just like he has me on a journey. So it's beautiful to rest in that. It's not about me. It's never about me. It's never about you. That's the beauty. So I think, you know, as I move forward and what we do in our community is we are the light for other people. We serve other people. If you want to be in a community that is there to serve others and not be served, that is our community. It's beautiful. It's abundantly blessed. It allows people to step into truly who God created them to be. And that is what we just, our hearts are on fire for. So, just had to throw that in. So that was Malachi 4:6. Now let's go on to a plan. Oh, I thought I started another plan. Oh, I know what I was going to do. I was going to start it today. Where did it go? Well, anyway, let's jump right into Irresistible Community. The Promised Community. Jesus asks us for us to lay down our whole lives before him. But for many people today, there are no huge consequences for putting their faith in Jesus. For many people today, there are no huge consequences for putting their faith in Jesus. I have to see what he means here, or she. The biggest sacrifices are often inward changes, a new heart and a new desire to lay down our lives for Jesus. But for some people, giving their lives to Jesus means giving up relationships. Even in New Zealand, a nation where with freedom of religion, when people of other faiths come to Christianity, it can often mean breaking with their families. Oh, okay, I see what they're saying. I think that happens here too. If somebody, I even look at my own life with my mom when I first, you know, found Jesus, started following Jesus, she kind of looked at me strange. She's like, what happened to my son? Because she was, I always say I had a new age upbringing. My mom was yoga and astrology and all that stuff. So I can see that we didn't split over it. And I wasn't, she just saw the transformation and how I started. I mean, it was just a steady progression of being more and more full of joy to the point where eventually she came around to giving her life to Jesus too, just really within the last month or so. So praise God. It's amazing. Yeah. Sometimes at our church, when we baptize someone, we cannot make it fully public or publish details online because their family found out that person would not be saved. Okay, so now I'm getting it. New Zealand, that's true. There is literally a safety issue for someone who is giving their life to Jesus. Interesting. Kurt. Okay, let's go on here. You can imagine how isolating that can feel when someone has to give up relationships to enter into faith. Of course, we encourage people to hold on to relationships where they can, but it's not always possible. For some people, this is because of religious differences, but it can also be for practical reasons like moving countries. Every church of a certain size has people who have lost or given up relationships to be where they are. Yeah, and again, the context of this, they're talking about church as a building, as a place. Church is not a building or a place. It's a people, and we're all church. We're all united in Christ by faith. We're brothers and sisters united together. Church is not a building. It's not a place. So that's, you know, that needs to be recognized in the context of this devotional. Jesus actually spoke about this to his disciples after demonstrating the huge cost of discipleship. Jesus gives a promise. His promise is that whatever we give up in order to follow him, he shall give us 100 times more, not just in the next life, but in this life too. Yeah, I like that. And you think about it, it's true. Because the things that at least I gave up, and I'm sure if you think about it, the things that you give up to follow Jesus are things of the world. And Jesus gives, that's the story I was sharing with my mom, about my mom. The joy in my life just continued to escalate as I give up more and more of this world's stuff. Now, that doesn't mean living under a bridge like a pauper. You know, that's something that's kind of misconstrued, I think. Jesus lived simple life, but he wants us to live a life to the full, to enjoy everything there is about this world, but to honor him in the process. So it's a beautiful anti-culture. Our culture, you know, puts it all on us. You've got to earn money. You got to do this. It's not what it is. It's serving others. We talk about it in our community. Just like I talked earlier about that. If you want to serve versus being served, our community is for you. And I think that's Jesus. So whatever you give up to follow Jesus, he gives you back. And in this case, you know, they use the words 100-fold, I think. 100 times more. You know, it's priceless. I can tell you from my perspective how my life has changed. My life has transformed just by one simple decision and then obediently stepping forward in faith. Not worrying about what I don't understand about faith, but sharing with others. If I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, dang, I don't get that. What do y'all think? And they give me perspective. And I give them perspective. It's beautiful. But it all starts with the knowledge that this is truth. What we're reading is truth. All right, let's continue. Jesus promises homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields to all who have given up things to follow him. The fulfillment of this promise is supposed to be the church, or the church as it should be. All right, I don't know if I agree with that, but let's continue. The church, again, the people, it's community, it's not a building. As the church, when we fail to care for one another and be family for those without family, we are failing to live up to who Jesus has promised we will be. Yes, I agree with that. If you are organized or part of a church, you got to make sure you get the churchy church stuff out of the church. You can't run it like a business. I mean, you can run it like a business, but boy, you have to be careful. It's got to be all about Jesus. And it's got to be the Holy Spirit leading your actions. And it's got to be heart-based. We talked about the heart with the first verse, right? Your heart has to be clean. Your heart has to be soft. It can't be hardened. See, and the unfortunate thing about churches is one or two people can tarnish the experience that somebody new has with Jesus. Somebody new following Jesus, if they get into, because people in churches are just like people anywhere. They sin, and we're all sinners. And so it's a huge responsibility to say that we're a church and then to take on that responsibility. I just feel like God is calling us out of the churches, the organized religion churches, and into communities like what we're doing. Of course you'd say you feel that way, Robert. That's what you're doing. Yep, that's what I'm doing the rest of my life, and that's how I feel like I'm being called. Holy Spirit is calling me into that. And through faith, we do have brothers and sisters. But it's through faith. God loves us all. But we're children of God through our faith. So you have to have faith. I used to think, you know, everybody walking around, God, you know, we're all brothers and sisters, no matter if you knew God or not. Well, that's not true. It's through faith in God that we are all children of God. And that's a choice that we all have. So it's beautiful that way. And what a family, an extended family. That's why we're looking at a global community. All right. So here we go. As a church, when we fail to care for one another and be family for those without family, we're failing to live up to who Jesus has promised we will be. Jesus asked for everything from his followers, but he also promised that the church would be everything for those followers. See, and I don't know if Jesus actually said the church. I don't know. We'll have to see if they put it in the verses coming up here. For those of us who have not given up family, this means making room within our families for new family members. We don't have to replace our families with the church family. Our families just need to get bigger. Well, I agree with that. And you don't need to have a church family to make your family bigger, is my point. How are you helping to make sure people who are disconnected from family members find something better in the church? Or I'll substitute in the community. Do you know who in your community is disconnected from family? Yes, and at Life Transformed I do. Within the church that I go to, I don't know all the people that are disconnected from family. I'm sure they don't know that I'm disconnected from a family member, but I have family in community. We just talked about this in our call yesterday. We have a call every week with leaders in Life Transformed. It was beautiful. We talked about that fact that we are all family. And Jesus, his compassion was so good that he gave beyond obligation to those who followed him. Not out of empathy, but compassion. Gave beyond obligation. So it was never an obligation. Just like it should never be an obligation to serve someone. If it's an obligation, then I think your motives are off. The motives are wrong if it's an obligation. You should do it because it's in your heart. Woo! Got to write that down. Yeah, that one really resonates. Really resonates. All right, let's see what verses. Okay, there in Mark 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. Woo, Jesus dropping the bomb. That is so good. So that's Mark 10, 18. Jesus, why do you call me good? God alone. I love that. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went sad. Because he had great wealth, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And that's where, you know, camel had to bow to get under the gates of the cities in the past. That was the reference. But then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children's fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Whoa, that is the bomb right there. So it's Mark 10, 29 through 31. That is Amazing. I gotta say that series of verses. There we go. All right, so sorry I have run a little bit long today, but this has been fantastic. Just think about that. It's true. It's Jesus will deliver. He'll deliver. All you have to do is give up everything, surrender self, and follow him. Boom, 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 shakalaka. All right, y'all. That's going to wrap it for today. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, Coffee and Christ. Every Thursday, I drop one of these episodes. I hope you have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, or evening. Check the show notes. Reach out to us. Find out about our community. Jump on a serve call. We'd love to have you part of what we are doing to serve the kingdom. See ya.